Well, good morning, friends. Thanks for joining us today for our church home service. And I'd like to start by wishing all the mums at home a happy Mother's Day. I hope you're having a great day today. Well, let's pray before we continue. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And I thank you that we have access to it. And even though we can't meet together in person, we can still read it and study it. And I ask today, Lord, that you'll please speak to us as we look at your word together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, something that I enjoy doing is going for walks. And I like it when I can walk with other people and talk with them as well. But as you know, it's a bit difficult to do that at the moment with all the restrictions that are currently in place. So instead, I've been going for walks. And while I've been walking, I've been ringing up different people from our church. And I've been talking to them, which has been great. So if I've spoken to you at some stage over the last month, well then there's a very good chance that I've spoken to you while I've been out walking. So if I've sounded a bit puffed or anything like that, I apologise for that, but I hope you've enjoyed listening to the birds in the background chirping away as I've been walking. Now 2 weeks ago, Trev spoke to us from Luke 24, which is the passage where Jesus appeared to the two believers as they were walking on the road to Emmaus. And while Jesus and the two believers were walking, they were also talking. And in Luke 24, we see how Jesus explained to them how Jesus is the fulfillment of what was prophesied in the Old Testament. So today, I need you to imagine that you're a flea, or if you don't like fleas, you can imagine that you're some other small insect, and you're sitting on the shoulder of one of the disciples as they walked along the road to Emmaus with Jesus. And you're eavesdropping on the conversation that occurred. And this conversation, it was based on some Bible passages that were written many years before Jesus was even born. And today we're going to look at how these passages accurately foretold Jesus' death and resurrection. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at 8 different references that are found in Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53. And as I mention each passage, I'll then show where this passage from the Old Testament was fulfilled in the New Testament. And I'll be honest, there are many verses that I could have referred to from these two chapters, but I haven't. I've just limited it to 8. And that's because I really can't tell, you know, those of you at home, how engaged you are with what I'm saying, you know, whether you're listening or whether you've fallen asleep in the recliner that you're sitting in. So let's look at the passages together. So if you could open your Bibles to Psalm 22, that'd be great. Now, Psalm 22 was written by King David 1,000 years before Jesus was crucified. And in verse 1, we read the words, my God, why have you forsaken me? And if we turn to the New Testament and look at Mark chapter 15, verse 34, we can see that this verse was fulfilled when Jesus was on the cross. And Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Now Jesus, he wasn't asking this question in surprise or fear. Rather, he was quoting the first line of Psalm 22, as Jesus knew that he would temporarily be separated from God the moment he took the sins of the world on himself. And in Psalm 22, verse 8, we read that the Messiah will be scorned and mocked, as it says. He trusts in the Lord, they say. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. And Matthew chapter 27, verses 42 and 43 fulfills this passage. As it says, he saved others, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God. And this passage from Matthew, it confirms that Jesus, he was scorned and he was mocked by those who witnessed his death. And if we jump down to Psalm 22, verse 16, we read, they pierced my hands and my feet. The Messiah, he had his hands and feet pierced. And this verse is fulfilled in John 20, verse 25, where we read that the risen Jesus had appeared to the disciples, all of his disciples except for Thomas. Thomas hadn't yet seen the risen Jesus, that Thomas said to the other disciples, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hands into his side, I will not believe." Now, Psalm 22, verse 18, it says, "They divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment." And here David is foretelling that the people will cast lots for the Messiah's clothing. And in Matthew chapter 27, verse 35, we see that this is exactly what happened. As it says, "When they crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots." And the last verse from Psalm 22 that I'll mention is verse 22 that says, "I will declare your name to my people." And this verse is speaking about the Messiah's glorious resurrection. And this verse was fulfilled when Jesus appeared to his fellow disciples and when they were gathered together in John chapter 20, verse 26. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Peace be with you." Now, as I mentioned before, these are just a few examples from Psalm 22 where King David foretold what would happen to Messiah many years before Jesus was born. Now, if you could please turn your Bibles to Isaiah 53, and again, we gain a glimpse of what Jesus was to endure for us. In verse 3, we read, "He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain, like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem." And this verse is confirmed in John chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, where we read, "He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him." And Luke 4, verses 28 to 29 also confirms this, as it says, "All the people in the synagogue were furious when they heard this. They got up, drove him out of the town, and took him to the brow of a hill on which the town was built, in order to throw him off the cliff." Jesus, he was despised and rejected, as many people didn't believe that he was the Messiah. In Isaiah 53, verse 7, we read that he was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. And this verse tells us that the Messiah would not retaliate or defend himself. And we can see that this is what happened in Mark 14, verse 61, where it says, "But Jesus remained silent and gave no answer." And we also heard it before in our reading from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, as it says, "When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly." And the last verse that I want to mention today is verse 11, which says, "After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear the iniquities." Jesus suffered. He died and he was resurrected. And then he appeared to many of his followers, testifying to them that he was the Messiah. And we can read about how Jesus testified to his disciples when he appeared to them in Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35, which is the basis for our sermon series at the moment, when Jesus appeared to the believers on the road to Emmaus. And in John 20, verses 10 to 31, Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene, then to the other disciples, and then to Thomas. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 2 to 3, we see that Jesus appeared to many of his disciples many times over 40 days following his resurrection. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 6, we read that Jesus appeared to more than 500 of his brothers and sisters at the same time. Now, these passages that we've looked at quite quickly this morning from Psalm and Isaiah, they are written many years before the events actually occurred. Yet they were written so accurately, and that's because God was writing the story. The Jewish community believed the Jewish community who lived during Jesus' time, they knew the Old Testament, they knew it extremely well. And they understood from the writings that God would send a Saviour to rescue them. But they didn't recognise Jesus as the Messiah. And even though Jesus told the people repeatedly that he was the promised Messiah, and Jesus performed countless miracles before their very eyes, such as turning water into wine, healing the sick, and even raising the dead, many of the people chose not to believe in him. And that's because they were expecting a great warrior, someone who would save them from the Romans rather than someone who would save them from their sins. And it's easy for us, now some 2,000 plus years later, as we can see the big picture, and we can read in our Bibles and see how Jesus fulfilled the prophecies that were written about him. And as you read the Old Testament, you'll discover that there are over 300 prophecies that refer to the coming Messiah. And the odds of one person fulfilling all those prophecies is astronomical. And for those of you who aren't mathematical like myself, a simpler way of explaining the odds of someone fulfilling all 300 plus prophecies will be like someone who's lost out at sea. They're on a little raft floating on the ocean, and this huge storm comes up and starts raging around them. And during the storm, they lose a special ring overboard. And you've been given the task of retrieving that ring. You don't know which ocean they're in, because after all, they were lost. But you also only have one dive where you can go down, find that ring, and come back up again. Now, the odds of you finding that ring on that one dive are similar to the odds of someone fulfilling all the Old Testament prophecies that were written about the coming Messiah. But the good news is that Jesus, he did it. Jesus fulfilled all that was written about him in the Old Testament, and it wasn't an accident. And that's because God was telling the story. God knew what was going to happen, and God keeps his promises. Now today we've looked at how Jesus fulfilled just 8 of the Old Testament prophecies. Jesus died, like it was foretold. And Jesus rose again to fulfill what was written in the Old Testament scriptures. And today we're currently in the grips of a global pandemic, and COVID-19 has dramatically changed our lives. But we're also in the midst of another pandemic. And this other pandemic has also changed our lives. And the pandemic that I'm talking about had its origins when Adam and Eve ate something that they shouldn't have. They didn't eat a bat. Instead, they ate the forbidden fruit. And as we read in our Bibles, we read how every person in the world now suffers from it. This pandemic that I'm speaking about is about sin. And the only cure for the sin pandemic is to believe in Jesus. To believe that Jesus died on the cross for you, and that he rose again to save you and me and everyone else from this sin pandemic. I'd like to close today by saying that each of us, we're located somewhere along the road to Emmaus. You could be like the people that the disciples passed on the road that day. Other people on the road, they'd heard about Jesus. They'd seen all the great things that he'd done, yet they were still asking themselves the question, who is this Jesus? And you could be asking yourself the same question. And if that's you, then I'd like to encourage you to contact one of us on the ministry team, one of our staff members, and our details are on the church webpage. Or you could be like the disciples that were headed to Emmaus, who feel puzzled and perplexed in your spiritual journey. You feel alone and being stuck in isolation and unable to meet with your Christian brothers and sisters. It doesn't help. And again, can I encourage you to contact someone from church? Open your Bible with them. Read God's word together and pray and ask God to speak to you. And the last group of people that we can be like are the two believers who were walking with Jesus that day. Once they realised who Jesus was, they rushed back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples what God had done in their life and how their eyes had been opened to who Jesus was. And if that's you, then my challenge for you is, who are you sharing the good news about Jesus with? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you that the prophecies that were written all those years ago were fulfilled through Jesus. Help us to be like the disciples and to recognise this truth, so that we can live radically changed lives for you. Fill us with an excitement and a passion to tell others that Jesus is alive. Give us the words to say and help us to make the most of our opportunities as they arise. And Lord, if there are some who are watching today and they're feeling down, speak to them through your word, speak to them through your Holy Spirit, and fill them with your joy and your peace, knowing that you are with them just like you were with the early disciples. Thank you, God, that Jesus is alive, and thank you for this good news that we can share with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.